You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Thank you all so much for listening to this story. Coming up next week on Sheep Might Fly is the new Belladonna U serial, Kissing Basilisks, in which we finally get inside the head of Ferdinand Chauvelin, just as his life falls apart again. These are witchy sharehouse Aussie magic university stories, and if you want to catch up on the podcast with the stories so far, the order is Fake Geek Girl, then Unmagical Boy Story, then The Bromances, and then Halloween Is Not a Verb. I'll be talking a bit later in the year about the paperback editions of these stories, but for now you can listen to the stories here on the podcast, even if they are probably pre-edited versions, as with all of these stories. Honestly, this podcast is like my final or semi-final edit before the stories go to print, so there's always a little bit of variation. Okay, after Kissing Basilisks, which will probably go on for a few months, we'll be returning right here to the Teacup Isles for the sequel to Tea and Sympathetic Magic. So don't put away your lace fans and your Regency etiquette manuals just yet. The Frost Fair Affair, which is still one of the titles I am most delighted about personally, will continue the adventures of Miss Mnemosyne Seaborn and a certain spellcracker. For now, you are cordially invited to listen to Tea and Sympathetic Magic, Chapter 9. Henry Jupiter, Duke of Storm, married Mrs. Juno von Trask 6 weeks later, in a private ceremony by special license. No one was even a little surprised. After all he had been through, it made sense that he had made his choice based on the bride's robust sense of humour. The bride was thoroughly vetted by the Duke of Storm's private spellcracker, who declared that the future Duchess of Storm had exerted minimal magical influence upon her intended. Everyone agreed that this was the best that could be hoped for under the circumstances. Neither of the Duke's living aunts were in attendance at the wedding, though his cousins Miss Mnemosyne and Miss Metis Seaborn were both there, throwing rice on behalf of the family. It was rumoured that one of the Duke's aunts was in the Queen's custody awaiting kidnapping charges, but no one entirely believed such a shocking piece of gossip. The new Duke and Duchess of Storm hosted a wedding breakfast 1 week later, in the grounds of Storm North, including a rather splendidly anarchic game of croquet, which was won by the new Mrs. Dr. St. Swithins, formerly Letty Agnew, narrowly beating Lady Liesel of Sandwich, who was getting rather used to coming in second. Mnemosyne and Metis, close intimates of the new Duchess, shared a cup of tea with her on the lawn as the party continued around them. "I'm a little disappointed there wasn't more of a scandal," drawled Juno. "In all the merriment, havoc, and food fights, somehow the question about who travelled where by portal got entirely lost." "Funny that," said Metis. "Not all of us have a ducal title to automatically get us out of hot water with the Queen," she added without a hint of defensiveness. Juno laughed that throaty laugh of hers. "Don't be sour, my dear cousin-in-law. I'm excellent at getting husbands, as it turns out. I'm more than willing to catch you one next." "No rush," said Metis, whose eye had strayed to the pretty smile of Lady Liesel more this often this afternoon than to any of the eligible gentlemen. "With my mamma busy on her private business with the Queen, most of my reasons for marriage have become less urgent." "Then how am I to reward you both for your heroic feat in rescuing my husband from a fate worse than death?" Neem smiled to herself, liking the way that June's arch tones softened whenever she said the words, "my husband." It was turning out to be a good match. Even now Henry turned from where he was chatting with the fellows across the lawn and glowed, as he exchanged a smile with his proud, sarcastic wife. "I have an idea," Neem said. "And I hope you're exceedingly grateful about the service we performed, because it's no small request." "Do tell," said Juno, her eyes narrowing. "I think it's time that Ladies of Nobility campaigned for the right to portal travel," said Neem. Juno laughed long and loud. "Well," she said when she had recovered, "I did say I wanted a scandal." No cake or junkets were served at the wedding breakfast of the Duke of Storm and his new Duchess. The happy couple requested savouries only, starting a trend that would resonate through the teacup aisles for years to follow. Thus, it was over sardines on toast and a cup of tea that Miss Mnemosyne Seaborne renewed her acquaintance with Mr. Charles Thornbury, the Duke's spellcracker. Politely, he asked after the health of her mother and father, who were not in attendance. "They are both well," she assured him. "My mother has taken to the healing waters of the Isle of Bath, to the great disappointment of my father, who has long considered it his private sanctuary. He has taken up mountain hiking in retaliation. In any case, they are both far from home, leaving the family library as my personal domain." He smiled warmly, which quite erased the usual creases on his work-worn brow. "That sounds exceedingly pleasant." "It is exactly how I wish to spend the rest of the summer," Neem assured him. "After so much excitement, I would be quite happy if I never had to ride in a swan-shaped boat or lace-edged peacock carriage ever again." "Indeed," said Mr. Thornbury, passing her a plate of cress sandwiches and deviled eggs. "Is the Library of Shelwich standing to be the headquarters of your portal equality campaign, then?" "Oh," said Neem, feeling the warmth as her cheeks coloured. "You heard about that?"
"I did," he replied.
"The Duchess of Storm has requested I make myself available to the committee, given that my duties of protecting the Duke from marriage hunters have been significantly reduced."
"We're a committee now," said Neem, her eyes brightening at the thought.
"It appears so. Lady Liesel and the other Miss Seaborne are keen to contribute, and Mrs. Dr. St. Swithin's is very enthusiastic. Plus, of course, you have the Duchess as your patron."
"A most effective group of ladies," agreed Neem.
There was a long, thoughtful pause, after which they both began to speak at the same time.
"I don't suppose,
if you would care," they laughed together and sipped tea.
"Will you stay with the Duke?" Neem asked, "now that he's safely married."
"His Grace's personal protection was only ever a small part of my duties, while he was actively seeking a bride," Mr. Thornbury assured her. "His active service to the Queen and the Court of Lords calls upon my professional skills quite often, and when I'm not directly needed by the Duke, I have leave to pursue my own interests. I am currently researching a paper on the uses and abuses of sympathetic magic, for example."
"How interesting," she said, meaning it quite genuinely. "So you will spend a great deal of the year in town, or at court?"
"As ever," Mr. Thornbury agreed. "But as long as portal travel is exclusive to gentlemen, it is our prerogative as well as our privilege. I would not expect my future wife, should I marry, to follow me from aisle to aisle because of my profession."
"How thoughtful of you," said Neem, an edge of cynicism coming into her voice.
"And so what would this wife of yours do with herself then, while you were so engaged?"
"Why, whatever she wished," said Thornbury. "To follow whatever interests or pursuits she liked, whether that be quiet solitude or committees and activism."
"I see." Neem's cup of tea had gone cold, but she could not bear to stop this exchange
to swap it out for a fresh one. She felt on the brink of something exceedingly important. Where would you live with this theoretical wife of yours? I have the means to buy a property, thanks to the generous support of the Duke, said Mr. Thornbury. I am hesitant to make a final choice on location, however, without knowing whom I am to share the residence with. My own preference would be somewhere quiet in the country, with a library and a garden. A library, said Neame, her teacup rattling once in her saucer. A good-sized library, I think. I have access to the Duke's collection, of course, but a man of research should have his own space to work away from the bustle and chaos. Mr. Thornbury smiled again. He should smile all the time. It did quite splendid things to his face. As should a lady. A library big enough for two sounds most appropriate. And when you are busy in town or at court or at one of the Duke of Storm's many residences, said Neame, would you use your privilege of portal travel to ensure you returned home most nights to share supper with your wife, to discuss your day and your work and hers, to build a marriage based on shared interests and companionship? I think, said Mr. Thornbury, that is exactly what I should like. A shadow of concern crossed his face. Of course, as a man of work, I could never hope. Mr. Thornbury, said Neame, it may interest you to know that given the near scandal that occurred in my family recently, my father has decided that the decision of my future husband should be taken entirely out of my mamma's hands. He is of the belief that I am the best judge as to whom is worthy of my hand. That is remarkably generous of him, said Mr. Thornbury, his eyes brightening with what Neame very much believed to be hope. It is important to know what you want in life and what would make you happy, she said firmly. I agree wholeheartedly, said Mr. Thornbury. With that in mind, I believe I have a question to put to you. Neame set her teacup on the nearby table, preparing herself. Before you do, Mr. Thornbury, I have a question to put to you. Do you think it would be of use to your professional reputation if you had the opportunity to change your name to Seaborn? Why, said Thornbury, taking her hand in his, it would be a positive boon. Well then, said Neame, grinning at him. She wondered if she looked as ridiculously happy as he did, here on the lawn, surrounded by tables and teacups. You had better ask your question now. I'm ready. Thank you for listening to Tea and Sympathetic Magic. And for listening to Sheep Might Fly. Next week, as I mentioned, we'll be starting a new serial here on the podcast, Kissing Basilisks. So if you would like to catch up on the other Belladonna University stories, in the meantime, you are more than welcome. My Patreon supporters can download all of the stories as ebooks. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.